This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Streaming online at ESPNRochester.com. Breaking news, scores, and on-demand audio. Bookmark the sports leader, ESPNRochester.com.
Here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, we only invite the best and brightest to pull up a stool and join us, Gene. We have a high standard of excellence.
He's best, brightest, and he's like top three faves, I think.
Easily.
I think Rodak's up there, and then we'll debate on the other ones.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes on Rodak. I mean, giving him some high praise. I don't know if that's well-deserved. Matthew Fairbairn with the Syracuse Post-Standard with the Bills Inside Scoop provided exclusively by Perry's Ice Cream. Life is a bowl of Perry's. Matthew, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great. We're trying to make a real news or fake news sort of deal. The Bills' level of interest in Mitchell Trubisky. What's your read on this, Matthew? Is these reports that the Buffalo Bills are interested in, is this just a smokescreen, or just we're at the point of the draft process right now where speculation just becomes the story here?
You know, I think this time of year, there's always going to be a mix of the two, whether it's, there's valid interest there or whether there's smoke screens involved. You're always dealing with a bit of a mixture. I think it would be impossible to say the Bills don't have some interest in these quarterbacks, considering Terry Pegula has been flying around, going to these workouts and meeting with some of these quarterbacks, along with Sean McDermott and Doug Whaley. I mean, Terry Pegula is a pretty busy guy. I would think he has better things to do than fly around the country and watch quarterbacks just to set up some sort of elaborate smoke screen, which I don't even know what the end game of that smoke screen would be, because people always say, oh, maybe they're trying to get a team to trade up with them. But wouldn't you just call the bluff if you're another team? Like, oh, I'm going to trade up with the Bills because I think they're going to take Mitch Trubisky. If they love Mitch Trubisky and he's sitting there at 10, they're not going to trade, and if they are going to trade, they weren't interested in him to begin with. So there's always a mix. I think there's some valid interest there. I really believe that, particularly with Mitch Trubisky, they have pretty strong feelings there, and there's definitely some interest. How strong that is, whether they would move up to get him, I don't know. I think they would probably prefer to stay put and try to get him at 10, but we'll see. There's obviously another week to go, and there's sure to be plenty more speculation coming out in regards to which direction the Bills want to go at 10.
Matthew Fairbairn, Syracuse Post-Standard Bills beat writer, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, the other quarterback that I don't think the Bills have had put through the paces with a private workout or have had meetings with, but there are reports that Doug Whaley is in love with Deshaun Watson. And I remember, I think the first mock draft that I saw had the Bills taking Watson at 10. What's the latest on the Clemson quarterback?
Yeah, you're right. It's been a little bit quiet on Deshaun Watson, which might mean that, that could be a guy that they're actually more interested in than they're letting on. My understanding is that they've done their homework on all of these guys in one form or another. There's so many different avenues that they can do that homework, whether it's at the Senior Bowl, the combine, the pro days, things of that nature. So they won't always broadcast it the way some of the stuff has gotten out there about, their interest in these quarterbacks. But I don't think that means, by any means that they haven't done their homework on Watson. I think there's, different things to like about Watson and Trubisky. I prefer Trubisky a little bit at this point, just because Watson's arm isn't quite as live as Trubisky's. He threw like 49 miles per hour at the combine, which, if you go back and look at the history, not too many quarterbacks, throw with that little velocity and make it in the NFL. I think that was a bit of a red flag for Deshaun Watson, but tough to ignore what he did on the field. and in terms of leading Clemson and things of that nature. So I don't think he would be the pick at 10, but if they move back, that might be a guy that they look at later in the first round.
Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post Standard. You can follow him on Twitter at Matthew Fairburn, our guest here in the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN, as we're trying to figure out, all right, what will the Buffalo Bills do at number 10? Do they sit there? Do they trade up? Do they trade down? Are they going to take a quarterback? I guess from the history of the team, and of course Rex Ryan is no longer there, but Doug Whaley, and you know, certainly the owner, was there last year too. Did you get any clues last year that the Buffalo Bills were interested in Shaq Lawson? Did the Bills tip their hand at all in the days leading up to their draft?
Yeah, I felt like there was a lot of clues tying them to Shaq Lawson. Now, obviously, it was a different story because Rex Ryan had a very well-noted affinity for Clemson, but Doug Whaley also has pretty strong ties to Clemson and the ACC in particular. So I think, you know, there were definitely clues. They had meetings with him. And they showed a lot of interest throughout the process. It was a little bit tougher to peg, you know, when they were picking at 19 a year ago. But it's, like you said, it's some of the same regime, but I think we're going to be looking at new draft trends this year with Sean McDermott. You know, how are they using those pre-draft visits? You know, for instance, they've met with a lot of guys who are going to be late-round picks, maybe even undrafted free agents, using those visits as a way to get ahead on undrafted free agency. They're using some of them on the top flight prospects and some of them on, you know, guys with character red flags. So I think a whole new set of trends will have to start this year because McDermott is going to have a lot of say, unlike the last two drafts where, you know, it was Rex Ryan calling the shots. And obviously I think their taste in players and people is going to be a lot different. And I think people will realize that after this first draft is complete.
Matt, you mentioned the affinity for Clemson. There's a wide receiver playing for Clemson last year, Mike Williams. I mean, this guy, when I watch him, he looks like he is going to be a playmaker on Sundays. And there's a possibility he will be there at 10. Is a wide receiver pick at 10 for the Buffalo Bills a wasted pick when you consider who's throwing them the football?
I don't think so. I don't think a wide receiver would be a wasted pick. The case I would hear for it being a wasted pick is that they probably don't utilize the number two wide receiver often enough to, you know, make that a worthwhile selection. But at the same time, you also have a number one wide receiver who is often injured in Sammy Watkins. So I don't think it would be a bad pick to surround Tyrod Taylor with some weapons. I mean, let's not forget, he did take a pay cut to come back and sort of did it on the good faith that they would surround him with some talent and give him an opportunity to succeed. And so if you want to get a fair look at Tyrod Taylor, I feel like he has to be throwing to better guys than Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin. Hopefully Sammy Watkins can stay healthy. And if they added a wide receiver at 10, somebody like Mike Williams, maybe John Ross from Washington, Corey Davis from Western Michigan, even O.J. Howard from Alabama, the tight end, all those guys would be great options. But if not at 10, I would think in the second or third round, adding some sort of pass catcher has to be a priority because there's just a depth issue at that position. They don't have a number two wide receiver on the roster, despite what Sean McDermott might say. Neither of those guys that are competing for that job are really worthy of that role, in my opinion. So they have to find somebody else to add to that competition and just add a different element to this offense and, you know, provide them with some insurance in case Watkins does get hurt again.
What's a better fit for this offense? Because you mentioned the number two receiver in this, it might not be used in Buffalo as it would be in other places. What about the number two tight end? You already have a guy in Clay, obviously, but going back to Howard there, would that be a luxury pick if the Bills opted to go for the Alabama tight end, or would that really make this offense in a two tight end formation dynamic?
I don't know that it would be necessarily a luxury pick. There's a chance he's going to be the best player on the board at number 10, and he's a much different tight end than Charles Clay, in my opinion. He plays more of an inline game. He's probably, you know, a bit more of a red zone threat. He can play in the scheme, whereas Charles Clay is kind of an H-back type and can move around the formation. They both would kind of complement each other pretty nicely, and considering that this team is probably going to run the football a lot again in 2017, you know, adding another tight end wouldn't be the worst idea. Again, that's a position where the number two guy on the depth chart isn't really what you look for in a number two. And you can get creative if you had, you know, Charles Clay and O.J. Howard and Sammy Watkins and LeSean McCoy all to work with. There's a lot of different things you could do on offense. You could call it a luxury pick if you want, but at the same time, you know, people might have said the same thing when the Patriots loaded up on tight end. It's never a bad idea to have a plan on offense and find playmakers that fit that plan. And I think O.J. Howard would fit, you know, what the Bills are looking to add in a second tight end. I have a hard time seeing how he wouldn't fit what all 32 teams would want to have at that position. So a luxury pick maybe, but one that they definitely have to consider at that spot.
Bills beat reporter for the Syracuse Post-Standard, Matthew Fairburn, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. You mentioned prospects that the Bills have been visiting with that might go undrafted for character issues and the like. Talk to us about the reports we're getting today about Chad Kelly visiting with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely going to get a little bit of interest there. They're going to kick the tires. They, you know, if at the very least as a service to, you know, Jim Kelly, just to, you know, give his nephew a look. To me, I wouldn't touch Chad Kelly. I wouldn't spend a draft pick on him. I don't think the talent warrants it on the field to begin with. I thought he was, you know, looked like a day three quarterback for much of his college career, but we're talking about a guy who got kicked off a high school team, got kicked out of Clemson, you know, had that incident at a Buffalo nightclub and ran onto a field, a high school football field, while he was a senior in college because of a late hit on, you know, his brother. There's too much off the field for me at that position to consider him a draftable player at this point. And not to mention, he tore his ACL last year and he just had wrist surgery and won't be throwing for the next 3 months. So he's really tough to, you know, warrant a draft pick on. But yes, they're going to do their homework. They're doing their homework on all these quarterbacks. Chad Kelly's a particularly easy guy for them to do their homework on because he's made himself available throughout this process at the Senior Bowl, now at their local pro day. And obviously being the nephew of Jim Kelly, that's a guy that, you know, they have to do their homework on. But to me, I just think there's too much, you know, surrounding him to make him worth it. Because if you bring him in, who are you cutting? Are you cutting T.J. Yates and having Cardale Jones and Chad Kelly as your two primary backups? Are you cutting Cardale Jones, who you spent a fourth-round pick on? I'd rather have Cardale Jones on the roster than Chad Kelly, and I have a feeling Chad Kelly's going to be waiting a while to hear his name called, if he hears it at all, on draft weekend.
Well, let's say, and I agree with you, it'd be hard considering with the latest with the wrist injury to see him going even on day three as a draft pick. But it's also hard for me to see him not getting invited to a camp. And if you're Jim Kelly and the phone rings, I mean, couldn't there be a case to be made if you brought in a Chad Kelly that, listen, you're not healthy, you're not going to be ready for the start of training camp, but you do the right things, you may have a spot on this practice squad. And that could be a guy you could stash at some point.
Yeah, I can see the case for that, and I get, you know, why people think of it as a no-risk option. But to me, if you're Sean McDermott and you're building this team and you're trying to, quote-unquote, change the culture, you have to question every guy you're bringing into your building, especially guys you're bringing into your quarterback room. And, you know, the stuff we just mentioned about him in his past, you know, makes it tough to warrant bringing him into the room at all. And I think when you add in the fact that, yes, he's Jim Kelly's nephew, and that's going to cause quite a bit of, you know, attention on him, not to mention you're bringing him home where he's gotten in the most trouble, and that's a lot of, there's still risk there. People perceive that there's not risk if you don't draft a player, but to me there's still risk going into camp. Chad Kelly will probably be ready to go at some point in camp, ready to throw the ball. You're bringing in that circus to camp. You know, all of a sudden, Tyrod Taylor has one bad preseason game and people are going to be calling for Chad Kelly to start. It's still a distraction. It's still a, you know, a bit of an inconvenience to me to have him in. I just don't see what the upside is. I guess you could stash him on the practice squad or maybe stash him on injured reserve with the latest news of his injury. But like I said, you're still risking bringing that guy in the building, adding pressure, unnecessary pressure to a quarterback room. People are going to be wondering whether he got preferential treatment. There's just a lot that goes into that, and it's all for a player who I don't know if he's even that good to begin with. So, to me, there's just a lot of risk involved that doesn't really make it worth it when you look at the type of player he was during his college career.
Matt, along those lines, you know, Coach McDermott has been preaching about accountability from day one, and you saw 60 of 61 players show up for the first voluntary session, and LeSean McCoy being the one guy that wasn't there. Now, you know, if he's not there because of his kid's birthday, that makes all the sense in the world, and I get that, but then you also have him popping off Kiko Alonso online, which probably isn't a good thing to, you know, provide bulletin board material for a divisional rival who beat you twice and made it to the playoffs while you sat home again. Is that message of accountability, is that going, it's for it to work, it has to work with all of the players, correct? Or do you hold Shady to a different standard if you're Coach McDermott, in which case are you hypocritical by saying you have to hold everybody accountable to a certain standard?
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's kind of how accountability works, is that, you know, everybody has to be holding each other accountable. You have to be holding yourselves accountable. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, LeSean McCoy needs to be held accountable for missing a few days of voluntary workouts and posting a comment on Instagram. I don't think that, you know, that means he's not buying into Sean McDermott. That just means LeSean McCoy is still LeSean McCoy. He's still going to be the same guy that he's always been. That type of attitude is kind of what makes him him. And they obviously want him on this team. You know, he's been one of their most productive players over the last few seasons. And I think you don't necessarily hold him to a different standard, but the idea of accountability, meaning everybody's got to be there at exactly, you know, on, you know, these voluntary workouts on exactly the same day. Look, I get it. He was the only one that wasn't there, but I'm not going to make a mountain out of a molehill and say this guy isn't buying into, you know, Sean McDermott's system or isn't buying into this idea of accountability or anything like that. I think when it counts, LeSean McCoy is going to hold himself as accountable as anybody, if not for any other reason than he wants to have those individual milestones that he's trying to hit. He's approaching 10,000 career yards, and he's climbing up the all-time list. I mean, I don't know that you're holding him to a different standard at this point. Maybe it's something to monitor going forward, but I think the idea of, you know, leadership and accountability sometimes might be overrated in the NFL. And I think this idea that, you know, everybody needs to be out there doing lunges and stepping over, you know, cones and whatever else they do during conditioning in April, you know, whether that means they're going to be successful players in the fall, I just don't buy it. And I just don't think there's an issue right now with LeSean McCoy.
As we wrap up here with Matthew Fairburn, Syracuse Post-Standard, you can follow him on Twitter, at Matthew Fairburn. Story that we're expecting to drop perhaps on Thursday, that's the NFL schedule. And Matthew, we know who the Buffalo Bills are playing, but when you put it all on paper, and specifically the quarterbacks you're going to have to face between Ryan and Breeze and Newton and Jameis Winston and Derek Carr and Andrew Luck and Tom Brady twice and a Denver defense, and Kansas City's pretty good. They're just going to be a hangover the next morning when people realize, oh my God, the Buffalo Bills will be lucky to get six wins out of this year's schedule.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of a reality check when people see that on paper in order of where they're playing them. Like you said, we know the teams, we know the location, but to see it all on paper and see what that schedule is going to look like, it's a daunting task. There's no question about it, but, you know, also the NFL, and week to week things change, guys get hurt, things like that. So it'd be too early to count them out because of the schedule, but I do think people are going to, when you, like you mentioned, you rattled off the name, especially if a few of those are strung together at a bad point in the season, it could be tough. I mean, you look at what happened last year when they had that stretch of games that was tough. I think everybody in the NFL has to face that at some point. The Bills probably have a particularly tough schedule this year. They don't travel quite as far as they did last year with three West Coast trips. They only have one this year, but I mean, they still have quite a few quarterbacks. I mean, even Philip Rivers is on the schedule as well, who you didn't mention. I mean, they are, other than those games against the Jets, they really don't get much of a reprieve from really good quarterbacks. So even the Alex Smiths and Andy Daltons of the world and Ryan Tannehill, I mean, those guys have beaten them in the past. So it's not going to be an easy road, and I don't exactly think that Bills fans will be celebrating schedule release day maybe the way some others around the league are.
Matthew Fairburn, Bills beat reporter for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Good with his time, as always, and spending a few good minutes with us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Matthew, if we don't get the chance to talk to you before a week from Thursday, enjoy the draft, and let's catch up again soon. All right, bud?
Absolutely. I'll talk to you guys soon.
You got
Thanks,
it.
Matthew.
Matthew Fairburn, joining us with the Bills Inside Scoop, provided exclusively by Perry's Ice Cream. Life is a bowl of Perry.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.